Are you wondering if an MBA moved online is a valuable experience, or are you less worried about how your education will be delivered and more worried about getting into an elite MBA program when you didn't necessarily attend a college with an Ivy League pedigree? Tune in. Our guest today will address both topics.
Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. Your host is Accepted's founder and world-renowned admissions guru, Linda Abraham. At Accepted, our mission is to get you to that unforgettable moment when you read your acceptance email and shout, "Yes, I'm in!" Confident you'll be attending the perfect program to help you launch the career of your dreams.
Welcome to the 373rd episode of Admission Straight Talk. Thanks for joining me. Are you ready to apply to your dream MBA program? Are you competitive at your target schools? Accepted's MBA admissions calculator can give you a quick reality check. Just go to accepted.com/373quiz and complete the quiz. You'll not only get an assessment, but tips on how to improve your qualifications. Plus, it's all free. Again, use the calculator at accepted.com/373quiz to obtain your complimentary assessment. Our guest today, Ellie Engelman, grew up outside of New York City and decided after a stint in the Israeli army to attend the Ziklin School of Business at Baruch College, where he earned a BBA in finance and minored in philosophy and computer applications in business. After interning at Bank Leumi, he joined the bank full-time in 2016 and worked there until he joined Columbia Business School's class of 2021. There's a lot more to his story, and I'm going to let Ellie tell it. Ellie, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, what do you like to do for fun?
Absolutely. So I grew up in Muncie, New York, which is about 45 minutes north of the city. I attended a local high school, and upon graduating, I decided that I wanted a little bit of an interesting experience in life. And so I moved to Israel to study abroad and join the Israeli Defense Force. And after 3 years in Israel, I decided to return to New York, this time Manhattan. I wanted to position myself at the center of business and to pursue a degree at Baruch College. Like you said, I majored in finance and minored in computer information systems and philosophy. And I had a wonderful internship at Bank Leumi, which is Israel's largest investments bank. And I decided to join them full time. And I loved the idea being at the intersection of business as well as that international experience that being at an Israeli bank afforded me. And at Leumi, I was a member of both the portfolio strategy and alternative investment teams. For fun, I love to read, I love to snowboard, hike and travel, and discovering different cuisines is a favorite pastime of mine.
Okay, great. Now, your undergraduate degree is in business. You have 4.5 solid years of experience at an international bank. Why did you decide you wanted or needed an MBA?
So I think there are three primary reasons. I think there are actually many more, but the three that spring to mind are the fact that at Leumi, I got a really broad experience, and I thought it was very important that starting out, I would focus more on the breadth than the depth of my experience, just to see what I would like. And I worked on public markets and private markets, and the private markets were really interesting to me. I hoped an MBA would allow me to leverage what I learned at Leumi and provide me a platform to focus my skill on that particular discipline. The second was that I wanted to surround myself with ambitious, hardworking peers who I could learn so much from. And that's really come to fruition in a profound way. And the third, and perhaps most important, and one that you're less likely to hear in general, is that life is short. And I wanted to diversify my experience as much as I possibly could. I wanted to live as interesting a life as I could. And I thought an MBA would be a great way to take a 2-year break from quote unquote real life and explore and see what's interesting to me and hear different perspectives. And that was very enticing.
Are you accomplishing your goals?
I truly am.
Okay.
Been amazing.
Great. We'll get back to that, but let's look at for a moment at the application process, and we're going to talk more about your actual MBA experience. Do you remember anything particularly challenging about the MBA application process for you?
So it's funny. I think what was the most challenging thing to me on my application was also the thing I thought would be the least challenging, which was my resume.
Really?
Yeah. I originally assumed that my resume's purpose was to highlight responsibilities, essentially to showcase the faith that Bank Loom or the companies I worked for in my internships had in me. But Natalie from Accepted, who was absolutely instrumental in getting me into the various programs that I did and helping me along my MBA search journey, quickly checked me on this and explained to me that the real value of a resume is as a marketing tool and a medium to tell my story. And so I then had to extricate my successes from my responsibilities and to really highlight the successes as opposed to the responsibilities.
Right.
That was actually challenging because I had the words on the paper. I had the resume. I thought it was good to go. And so instead of building it from scratch, which might have been easier if I had that focus on success, I had to revamp it. And once I began to think about the resume as a narrative with a beginning, a middle, an end, and I started to think about how one instance of success led to another, I put that on paper, completely revamped my resume, and that helped tremendously. I saw a difference in the interviewers that I had, in admissions. People would just be able to look at it, and they'd look up at me as though they learned something. There was something there that they can talk about. So that was really excellent and a challenge, which I'm very happy to have had Natalie's help to overcome.
Yeah, my next question would have been, how did you overcome it? But you just answered it. No, it's absolutely mandatory that resumes focus on accomplishments and achievements and not mere responsibilities. That's just basic. Let's go back to your experience at Columbia. What did you like most about Columbia pre-COVID?
Being with my cluster, really, yeah. That's an easy one to answer for me. At CBS, we call cohorts clusters.
Okay.
And cluster B just exceeded all my expectations. We do it by the alphabet, and I was in cluster B, and the people are diverse and intelligent and most importantly, generous. There's no substitute for in-person experience, obviously. But it's amazing to see how even in this time, my cluster is coming together virtually, constantly. You know, we have COVID, the social turmoil, and time zones. It's incredible. And we regularly have virtual events, check-ins, support groups. And I can't wait for these things to be done in person. To your point about time zones, we have people from Korea calling in. We have people from Maui calling in and from everywhere in between.
We'll get to Maui in a second also. thinking to the pre-COVID experience, what would you have liked to see improved at Columbia?
The facilities.
Okay.
I think aesthetics are extremely important in that a building should be a reflection of the kind of work you expect to achieve within. When a student walks into a beautiful, naturally lit, open plan building, which I saw many during my MBA explorations, I think there was a different atmosphere. People were inspired to open up, to collaborate, to innovate. When you walk into the Soviet-style bunker, I hope Dean McGlaris isn't going to listen to this, the Soviet-style nuclear bunker that is Urys Hall, put up, by the way, under protest from the neighboring architecture school, the first instinct is to feel a little restricted and gloomy. That said, I mean, I can rant about this for an hour, but there's a new building in the works. It looks amazing. It should be completed next year. And I'm really excited to attend events there and maybe participate in some continuing education.
So it should be finished before you graduate.
That's what they say.
Okay.
At the end of the year. You know how these construction projects.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, I've been asking all my questions about pre-COVID. COVID hit. You had to go online. How was your adjustment to online learning, social distancing, and sheltering in place? And how on earth did you manage to pull this off in Hawaii?
So originally, I had worked for months and months with a team of students to bring 150 CBS students to Israel for spring break to experience the social and business culture there. Obviously, that fell through at the last second due to COVID. but one of the attendees who was on the trip asked me if I would like to join him for a week in Maui. So I'm talking to you 3 months later from Maui, still here. And I thank him for his generosity, let me tell you. And in terms of social distancing, it actually made life very easy. I'm very fortunate. I'm here with my wife and seven other CBS students. And so the loneliness associated with social distancing and sheltering in place was never really an issue.
I'm very thankful for that. You formed your own pod, if you will, where whatever
exactly. happened. And I've always been a quality over quantity of relationships guy anyway. And so really exploring my relationships and deepening my relationships with these people has been tremendous. In terms of virtual learning, we use Zoom. Nothing special about it. It was a little bit weak. It's not great. It is what it is. We understood that the school had to pivot very quickly and that they perhaps should have, but didn't have the resources to do it in a way that might have benefited us a little more in terms of collaborating virtually and interacting with the professor virtually. The quality of lecture-oriented classes I found weren't really hit. So you had capital markets and investments, for example, the quality was barely diminished. But I can't say the same for collaborative classes. We had these unbelievable classes led by industry leaders and things like Think Bigger, which was sort of a not quite design thinking, but iterative thinking process in which mm-hmm. you collaborate with people to your left and right constantly in the classroom. And we couldn't do that virtually nearly as easily. And then we had classes like organizational change, which were also highly collaborative. Unfortunately, I decided to really stock up on those classes over the last semester before COVID. And so that wasn't great, but I think CBS did its best, and the next time Learn From Home is required, they'll be much better equipped to deal with these things.
Because if there's a second surge or whatever, I know they're not planning to. They're planning to open in person, perhaps with, more separated classrooms, but they are planning to open in person.
That's right. I'm excited to see the details on that.
Other than spending several months in Hawaii, are there other silver linings for you to the remote education? Are there any silver linings for you?
I would say yes. Flexibility is a big one. So we have people who are able to dial in from any location. I think that's important. I think a lot of people got to spend more time with family than they otherwise would have. You're able to work simultaneously while taking courses. I understand that those are benefits on paper, but that's certainly not what I signed up for. And I'm just the kind of person that prefers being on site to the extent that I don't really see those things as much of a benefit, but I do understand that a lot of people can benefit tremendously from that.
Right. It seemed to me like the schools as a whole, obviously there were some classes that they couldn't do this with, were really fairly successful, if anything, impressively successful at transferring the coursework online. Okay, especially as you mentioned, the lecture classes. Mm-hmm. But so much of the MBA is extracurricular or co-curricular. Did you feel that you kind of lost out during the last 3 months in terms of those activities, or was there at least partial success in transferring that also online?
I think a mix of both. I definitely miss participating in club events and interacting with classmates in person, going out with them, and
sure.
being able to just turn around to a professor and spontaneously asking a question, sort of tapping on the shoulder. But that was the reason that I decided to attend a full-time program. And I really do miss those aspects of the experience that I really hoped for.
Right. Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll have them the second year. Are the things that you're missing serious enough so that you wish you hadn't started your MBA in summer 2019?
Right now, I can unequivocally say no. Thankfully, we've only experienced this virtual world for half a semester. Yeah. But any longer, and my answer may well be different. I spoke to a prospective student on the phone when we still didn't know whether we'd be on campus or not for the next semester. And I recommended that they defer. Mm-hmm. They said, you know, you're not signing up for a part-time, you're not signing up for virtual, you're signing up for full-time, and you should take advantage of that. Obviously, his specific circumstances were such that he was unfortunately given a timeline to be let go, and so he's going to matriculate. But to those people who have the opportunity to wait until, with a high degree of certainty, classes will resume as normal, I would say defer.
All right. If they have the opportunity to defer, most
of course.
You know, they might lose their spot, actually. How are you spending your summer other than in Hawaii? I mean, more professionally, how are you spending your summer between the first and second year of business school?
I'm fortunate yet again here in the digital media private equity firm that I'm interning with.
Wonderful.
It's based in Manhattan, and because they're in the digital media space, they are actually doing quite well despite COVID. And they didn't have to make any adjustments to the length of my internship or salary. And I know a lot of my classmates are suffering as a result of changes made by their firms. And we're, as a matter of fact, in the midst of acquiring two new companies with more deals on the horizon. So it's been a really great time. I've been working on due diligence, and forecasting, strategy. I've been having a blast and learning a ton.
That's fantastic. So you could just continue your internship remotely.
Yeah, we do it remotely. I think, again, you have, you know, the same downsides you do to not being in person in an MBA program in terms of collaboration in person, et cetera. But by and large, especially now that we're used to having 3 months of, you know, virtual programming, it feels much more like second nature than it did to make the transition from in-person to online for the MBA program.
Sure. What are your plans for the second year of your MBA program?
In my second year, I hope to be more involved in extracurriculars. I'm quite involved right now, but I'd really like to take it to the next level in terms of leadership in clubs. And I've joined the board of the Rugby Association, for example. And
what are the clubs that you're most interested in?
The rugby club, the wine club, entrepreneurship through acquisition on the professional side, the VC club. Those are the ones that I'm most interested in. And, you know, things like company visits, I'm really hoping to take advantage of next semester. And I'd like to focus a little bit more on those classes that are around investments and entrepreneurship.
And what are your plans for the future after your MBA?
We were talking about this earlier, how COVID really subverts plans. You know, global pandemics can change the way you think about having a structured plan. And so
right.
I think in my life in general, I've carved out a path, but have never been too myopic about the goal. And so I'd like to work in investments in some capacity at a serious firm, or spend time searching for an interesting business to acquire. Like I said, I'm interested in entrepreneurship through acquisition, but I'm going to continue to work hard, keep my options open, and capitalize on a great opportunity when one arises.
Sounds good. Is there anything you would have liked me to ask you?
Maybe what life is like at CBS for partners, or as we say at CBS, better halves.
Okay. Go for it. I know, I know you got married about a year ago, so go for it. Almost exactly a year ago.
That's right. Almost exactly a year ago. And Sally, my wife, was at the School of Public Health at Columbia. And so she had a little bit of a taste of the graduate school experience, but nothing compares, I think, to the MBA experience when it comes to things like extracurriculars and the social side of it. And to say that she's been welcomed with open arms is a massive understatement. When people see me, they say, Ellie, where's Sally? And when I say she's not going to be here, they sort of grunt a little and walk away. So she's she's definitely the better half here. And they have a great support system for better halves through the better half community. And that's both on Slack and email. They have events, and they're really well connected. Better halves are able to participate in just about everything at the school programmatically. Yeah, they can, you know, Sally has reached out to professors about auditing classes and is always welcomed unless there's absolutely no room in the class physically. And so she's had a wonderful experience. She's been looking more at the investment side of healthcare and has leveraged a lot of the relationships that she's built through me at Columbia Business School to take advantage of that opportunity.
Two MBAs for the price of one.
Exactly. Let's not tell anybody in the CBS.
Okay. We'll keep it a secret. We'll keep it our secret.
Because I will get a bill. But truly, it's like that.
All right. Well, Elliot, you've been really generous with your time. I want to thank you so much for joining me and sharing your MBA experience, the good and the bad, with my listeners and me. Oh, and is there any place where if somebody wants to contact you, they can do so?
Sure, they could look me up on LinkedIn under Ellie Engelman. Okay. And I'm happy to reply to any questions about the MBA program or the search and so on.
Okay, great. We're going to link to Ellie's LinkedIn page from exhibit.com/373. Listeners, thank you too for joining me for this episode of Admissions Trade Talk. If you'd like to stay informed of what Ellie's up to, we're going to link to his LinkedIn profile from the show notes at exhibit.com/373. Don't miss the MBA admissions quiz that I talked about at the beginning. Are you ready to apply? Competitive? Find out at exhibit.com/373quiz. Thanks again for coming. This is Admissions Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.